Exploration together today. And what piqued my curiosity, take a look on in the Art School Chumash on page 310. So Hashem appears to Moshe at the snare, the burning bush, tells him to go back to Egypt and to redeem Klal Yisrael, and then he tells him to go back, and then Moshe Rabbeinu goes to his father-in-law and gets permission. Hashem says to Moshe, in Midian, go back to Mitzrayim, because all the people are trying to kill you are dead. Now look at Pasuk Chaf, Pasuk 20. Ve'igach Moshe's ishtoi ve'ez banov. Moshe takes his wife and his children. Ve'yarkivim ala chamor, and he, how do they say, loads them, places them. To be markiv is to ride. He has them ride on the chamor, ha chamor, not just a donkey, but the donkey. And he goes back to Mitzrayim. V'yikach Moshe's mata l'kim b'yoda. Moshe takes the staff of Hashem. So Rashi is clearly troubled by the ha chamor, the donkey. What's the donkey? And you know, he drove the Lexus. What is the donkey? So Rashi says, take a look on the bottom there. Ala chamor, chamor hamiyuchad. The designated donkey. What's designated about this donkey? Hu achamor shechavash Avram lakedis Yitzchak. It was the same donkey that Avram Avinu used to go to the Akedah. And it is the donkey upon which Mashiach is going to be revealed. Mashiach is going to be the one who will be riding on the chamor. That's one old donkey. This donkey starts out by the Akedah and lives all the way to Mashiach's time. Make sure they change its oil every 3,000 miles. So the obvious question is, who cares what the method of transportation is? Why is it relevant? Whose business is it? Why do we care? Thank you. Why is it important how they got it wrong? How they got around, and certainly why is it important that Mashiach is going to show up on a chamor? Now, if you go back, these chamorim clearly play a very significant role. Because, for instance, you see that there's a mitzvah that applies to the species of donkeys, it doesn't apply to other animals, that's the mitzvah of pidyon peta chamor. You got to redeem the firstborn of donkeys. There's no other behemoth tameah to which that mitzvah applies. It only applies to animals which are tahirim. A donkey has the unique mitzvah, and Chazal tell us a very fascinating thing, and that is because in the Yetzias Mitzrayim, every person had 10 donkeys laden with riches, with wealth, with gold and silver, and as Hakar Satoiv to the species, we reward their eniklach of the donkeys that helped us get out of Egypt, so we involve them in a mitzvah until the end of time, that all of their eniklach, the firstborns, will be redeemed. But there's something unique about donkeys. Why? What is this donkey thing? Now, if you remember by the Akedah, Avraham Avinu, the pasuk says, V'yachvish es chamayroi, that Avraham Avinu woke up early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey, and Chazal tell us there that Ahava Mikalkelis Hashura, that love corrupted the rule, the norm. Meaning, Avraham Avinu is a very wealthy man. You don't change your own oil. Right? He should not have saddled his donkey on his own, but his love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu was such that he wanted to have every part of this mitzvah, so Avraham Avinu himself saddled his donkey. Who's that? Oh, okay. Now, later on in history, There's another Lahavdil character who dabbles himself with his donkey. Only that wasn't the he-donkey. Bilam had an Ason, who was a she-donkey. And Chazal tell us that there was more going on in that relationship than just the fact that Bilam's donkey was a package carrier. He too got up when he went to curse Klal Yisrael and got up early in the morning. He got up early and saddled his she-donkey. And Chazal there tell us, Sina Mikalkelis Zashur, his hatred for Klal Yisrael corrupted the norm. He was also a very wealthy man. And he should have had servants doing it. Going back to the Akedah, you remember Chazal tell us, when they arrived at the scene, so Avraham Avinu instructs the other lads that were with him to stay there with the donkey. And he and Yitzchak went off on their own. And Chazal tell us, Im hadayim lechamor, he told them that they were very, he said to them, do you see anything? They said, we don't see anything. Yitzchak saw the presence of the Shekhinah. So he said, if you don't see anything, then you're similar to the donkey. You should probably stay here with the donkey. Not great bedside manner, but that was the kind of the message. Now, here's what's equally strange. You go back to page 246, and it's several times. Habaker R and Pasuk 3. This refers to when Yosef took the money, put it back in their sacks, and sent it back to Eretz Yisrael with the brothers, sent it back up to Yaakov Avinu. Habaker R, Anashim Shulchu Hema V'chamay Rehem. Pasuk 3 in chapter 44. This repeats itself several times. They and their donkeys. They and their donkeys. What's up with these Jews and their donkeys? And then you got this obsession with them, worrying about their money being placed back in their bags constantly. What is up with the money and they're worried? And they open their bags and they see the money and they worry. And they open their bags and they see the money and they worry. I mean, something going on here. And what is the thing with the Chamay Rehim? They and their donkeys. So there's a morale in Pirkei Avos. Remember, there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in the fifth chapter. I think it's Mishnah 20-something. That the Mishnah instructs a person to be from the disciples of Avraham Avinu and not to be from the disciples of Bilam. And the morale makes a distinction between the donkey of Avraham Avinu and the Asayin of Bilam. And he says that Chamor is the same language as Chomer, which means crass physicality. And that Klal Yisrael prides themselves as being masters over the physical world. Bilam, on the other hand, was a slave to his donkey. This would be a classic case to use the wrong word for that animal. Right? He was an eved to his chomer. He was an eved to his chamor. Avraham Avinu sublimated and was complete master over his chomer. Vayachvosh es chomeri. He captured, he overcame, he saddled his chamor. He was in charge. How did he do it? Come Chazal and tell us, because Ahava Mekalkelis is Ashur, meaning most of us learn the Rashi, that means love corrupted, meaning he really should have had his servant do it. But instead of having a servant do it, he lost it in his love, and as a result, he did that which is inappropriate, and he saddled his donkey himself. According to this morale, what he's really saying is that Ahava, that the way of the world, the shura, the normal way of the world is that there's a tremendous clash I'll give you an example. The Bava Virov once told me, by Lot, it says, Avraham Avinu, when he and Lot part ways, so Avraham Avinu said to Lot, he parid na me alai. Please separate, how do you translate me alai? From upon me. You should say, he parid na me many. Separate from me. What is it? Me alai. So he quoted that the Zohar says that Avram don nishmasa, Avram is the neshama, and Lot is the Yetzirah. What we have the right and the responsibility to do with the Yetzirah is to say, look, you want to fight, we're going to fight fair. Arm to arm. We're going to wrestle one with another. That's fair. When you're sitting on top of me, I can't fight with you. So Avraham Avinu said to Lot, he parted, no, you want to separate me, it's got to be male. You got off of my back. You want to fight with me, let's have a fair fight. But if you're on top of me, I can't fight with you. He said, that's a fair, to ask the Rebbeinu Shalom to take away our Yetzirah, that's not going to happen. But to say that the Yetzirah is overwhelming me, he's suffocating me, I can't operate, that's a fair request. Ahava mikalkelis hashura means that the love that Avraham Avinu had with the Rebbeinu Shalom was mikalkel, the norm of the world. It corrupted the norm, meaning it gave Avraham Avinu the upper hand to be chayvish es chamari. His love for the Rebbeinu Shalom was so intense that where the rest of the world are slaves on some level to their chaymer, to their physicality, Avraham Avinu's love corrupted his the shura, and Avraham Avinu was able to be in charge of his chaymer. I've shared with you in the past, Shulman Belze, the first Belze Rav, says that the Malachim were afraid to go to Sodom because a Malach that comes into a corrupted place, a corrupted atmosphere, has the capacity to become a demon. So the Malachim needed protection. So the Rebbeinu Shalom said to them, on your way to Sodom, you stop by Avraham Avinu, you'll eat of Avram's food, and that will be your protection. And he says that that's why Avraham Avinu, when he sends off the angels, he says, ki al kein avartem, it's the language there. He says, "Vaykapas lechem, I'll give you bread. Besadu liyipchem, you'll satisfy yourselves. Achatavaru, and then leave. Ki alkein avatam alavdechem, because that's what you came for." That's not such a nice way to talk to your guests. You came here to stuff your faces, so eat and go. It's just not that nice of a way. So he says, "No." Avraham Avinu understood that the reason the angels came was because they needed to eat of his food. So he's just being very practical with them. He's saying, come on, let's get down to business. You guys got to eat because you have a job to go do. You need to eat of my food so that you can go on to Sodom. So you see that Avraham Avinu had this mastery over his chamor, over his donkey. We read yesterday that the paroi calls together his wise men. Havan es chakmaloi. Let's get together. We got to outsmart the Jews. What are we going to do? We're going to turn them into slaves. Where are the brains behind this operation? What's the chachma? What's the neschakmaloi? If you trace the source of Mitzrayim, where did Mitzrayim come from? The Torah tells us that Mitzrayim was a descendant of Cham. Now, what was the bracha that Noach gave Cham? He told them that they were going to be Eved Avadim Yelechav, that they were going to be slaves to the children of Shem, which means Egypt are to be slaves to the Jews. Paray doesn't like this. That's Paris' fear. He sees all of a sudden the numbers of Jews are expanding. He says, the Zayde Noach was right. Here they go. They're going to become more than us, and they're going to take us as slaves. Hovin is chak mother. Let's beat them to it. Let's go ahead and turn the Jews into our slaves instead of us becoming slaves of the Jews. So the Shailas, did they succeed? What's more, we need to understand, he got this great Brisbane Absorum, this moment in history, this awesome moment in history, right? The covenant between the parts that takes place with Avraham Avinu. What's the greatest thing that takes place at this moment? The covenant that we're, the bris that we're going to create between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Hashem informs Avraham of the great news. Ki goy yezaracha beretz leilehem va'avodim v'inu oisem abba me'ashona. Your descendants are going to become slaves to a terrible nation. They're going to beat them and persecute them. V'yachachen yetzu v'ruchush gadol. And then they'll go out with great riches. God, I love you. Right? Well, that's what you do at a bris? You can imagine Avraham Avinu's reaction. This is love? So, how do we understand this? So there's an Alshech and there's a Shlach Kaddish. The Alshech explained, the Alshech was not into Kabbalah. The Alshech wanted to learn Kabbalah, and the Arizal told him that his neshama was in Drush, and he was not supposed to learn Kabbalah. So the Alshech writes that Klal Yisrael had to go down to Mitzrayim because there was a purification that needed to take place. And the language he uses there is that they needed to go through a kur habarzel. It's a purification kiln. That was the process of Avdus Mitzrayim. And Avraham Avinu, his entire goal was that his descendants should go on to be Mekabel the Torah. And Avraham Avinu wanted to know how they were going to merit that. So Hashem said to him, here's what's going to happen. They're going to go down to Egypt. They're going to go through this kiln. And those who survive are going to go on to be Mekabel the Torah. Says the Alshech, doesn't mean they're going to go out with great riches, but it means they're going to go on to receive the Torah at Har Sinai. So he says, for the physical enslavement, they got the money. For the spiritual enslavement, they went on to receive the Torah. So look at it in this light. Look at it in this light. Come this Chacham Paroi. So he says, Havin is Chachmalei. Let's outsmart them. We're going to make them our slaves. Ha! We got them. Right? Without realizing that very enslavement fulfilled the promise to Avraham Avinu, which while the Egyptians were acting like masters over the Jews and making them their slaves, in essence, the exact opposite was going on, that the Jews were the masters and the Egyptians were the slaves, because ultimately, in the big picture, when the ultimate goal of Kabbalah Satorah had to come into play, the only way it could happen was by the Egyptian acting like a master and the Jew acting like a slave, where in essence, they were acting a part where the Jew was the master and the Egyptian was the slave, because he was bringing about the ultimate result of Kabbalah Satorah. Now, we know that there's a prohibition today to go back to Egypt, right? They say, see from the race, you're not allowed to go back and live in Egypt. They say that the Rambam, when he lived in Egypt, would sign his name, Moshe ben Maimon, who every day transgresses the violation of living in Egypt. And no choice. Well, what's up with that? So the Mefarshim explain, because according to the teachings of the Arizal, that we throughout the ages have a responsibility to go ahead and extract sparks of Kedusha from throughout the world. And that Egypt had 202 of these sparks. Was it? I don't remember the number. Whatever the case is, there were these sparks that needed to be elevated. And the Torah says, Vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim, that Klal Yisrael ransacked Egypt. So normally we translate it as they went away with all the gold and the silver, right? They walked away with the clothing and all the goods. He says, no, Klal Yisrael were able in the short period that they were there. Normally it should have taken 400 years. Klal Yisrael were efficient and they were able to do it in a much shorter period of time. As a result, Jews have no right to go back to Egypt because we have nothing to do there. But ever since then, we wander the globe, vacuuming up these sparks of Kedusha, and we wander from continent to continent and from country to country until we have cleaned up and elevated all of these sparks of Kedusha. The representation, the playground, if you will, of where this takes place is in the Olam HaGashmi, is in the physical world. That's where these things are concealed. It's in the Chamorim, it's in the crass physicality, in the Chomer, in the physicality of the world, is where these sparks of Kedusha are concealed. The Shvatim, right, the tribes knew that this was part of their destiny. They knew about the Bris Bein Habsarim. Now imagine if you know that you have a mission, a destiny in history. You know that it was decreed to your great-grandfather that his descendants got to go down to Egypt in order to be able to extract this Kedusha from the Egyptian society. You also know that if you're efficient in your extraction, in your Nitzitzis extraction, that you may spare your children and grandchildren the suffering of needing to go down and becoming slaves in Egypt, okay? So put yourself in that mindset. The Shvatim, against their will, are forced to go down. There's no food in Israel. Yaakov Avinu says, go down to Egypt. I see that there's Yeshever ben Mitzrayim, there's food in Egypt. Meaning, he's saying to them, guys, there's an opportunity here. You can go down to Egypt and somehow bring back Tuv Eretz Mitzrayim, the goodness of Egypt, bring it back here, we can elevate it here, like was destined to happen in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. The Maharnaim says that this whole issue of needing to wander the globe is a curse of Gullus, because if we really were the way we needed to be, the nations of the world would be bringing their sacrifices from Brazil and America and Canada and wherever to Eretz Yisrael, and that's how we would be elevating the sparks. It's only because of the curse of Gullus that instead we're wandering the globe and picking it up. Okay? So Yaakov Avinu says, we have an opportunity. Go down there and purchase food and bring it back. And they go back. They come back and they see that this exchange is not working. Because every time they go back, they find that whatever they've invested is just coming right back with them. It's their mission is being thwarted, because what's being sent back, Vanoshim Shulchu Hema Vichamayreim, they and their Chumrius are just going right back, and they can't figure out why it is that they cannot succeed in bringing back up the Chumrius, the physicality of Egypt, and being able to elevate it, and by doing so, preventing Gullus Mitzrayim. Whatever the reason was that they could not succeed, is, you know, there are many reasons why that was not in the cards, why Klal Yisrael needed to go down to Egypt and the process take place in Egypt itself. And it stems all the way back from Sarah's paving the path when Avraham Avinu and Sarah went down. But when Moshe Rabbeinu needs to go down to Egypt to redeem Klal Yisrael, so Hashem says to Moshe, go back. So the Torah says, Ve'yikach Moshe's ishtei ve'zbonov ve'yakivim al hachamor. He says, Hashem instructed Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu took his wife and his children, and he put them on the chamor. Comes Rashi and says to us, this isn't just a donkey. This is the donkey. What's the donkey? Says Rashi, chamor hamiyuchad. This is a Jewish donkey. This is the unique donkey. What's unique about him? Hu hachamor shechovash Avram le'akedas Yitzchak. This is that aspect of humanity that Avram Avinu was able to saddle when he went to Akedas Yitzchak. That shvu lachem poi im hachamor, it was the very same donkey that at that moment had such a clear distinction between Yitzchak and Yishmael, that Yishmael was shvu lachem poi im hachamor. He sat there with the donkey, and Yitzchak went on to the Akedah to overcome the donkey. And finally, v'hu she'osid melech ha-mashiach lehigolis olav. You think about the language. Mashiach is going to be revealed on a donkey. I mean, it doesn't really sound so glorious. The point is, we need to understand that it's the essence of Geula. The essence of Geula is not just that he's going to be revealed on a donkey, but the point is that it is in this donkey that Mashiach is revealed. Mashiach is revealed Allah, meaning this is the, you want to know what Mashiach is? Mashiach is a human being who's able to take his donkey, who's able to take his chumrius, who's able to take his entire physicality and declare upon it the Vayach Vishas Chamer. It's completely in sync with the Akedah. It's one and the same of saying, I am not a slave to the donkey. The revelation that takes place is Ala Chamer. The distinction that will become crystal clear in Mashiach's day is who's running who. Are we operated by the Chamer, or are we masters over the Chamer? And when Moshe goes back to redeem Klal Yisrael from Egypt, the message that he's saying is Vayakivim al hachamar. You want to go back and redeem Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim? There's only one way, and that is if we're on the donkey. They tell over a nasty joke that the Klausenberger Rebbe came to America the first time after the war, and he saw people walking around with straw hats. So he said, it's so unique. He's in Europe, the animals used to sit on the straw. And here in America, the straw is on the animals. Right? The shaila is, who's riding? Are we riding the donkey, or is the donkey riding us? By Bilam, his donkey was riding Bilam. And by Avram Avinu, the distinction between Avram and Bilam was who is Reichev Alachamar. So he says, quote, the pasuk he quotes, Shenemar ani v'reichev al hachamar. About Mashiach, it says that he was impoverished, but he was reichev al hachamar. He's riding on the donkey. And that's the same language that's used here, v'yakivim al hachamar, that Moshe Rabbeinu took Tzipora and his children, going back to Egypt. He said, there's only one way to survive in Egypt, and that is v'yakivim al hachamar. There needs to be a very clear, very, very clear direction as to who is in charge of whom, what is operating what. Is it a human being who's being chavish his chamer? Are we saddling the donkey and using the donkey for our purposes in Avodas Hashem? Or is the donkey in charge? And that was the tremendous fear of Achei Yosef when they saw that something was off. Hema v'chamerim, there was something off with these donkeys. They knew that there was more to it than what was meeting the eye. And ultimately, the chamer becomes a cheftza shel mitzvah. It becomes the only behema tameya with which a mitzvah is performed, because it was the animal that assisted Klal Yisrael in carrying out all the wealth from Mitzrayim. It became the vehicle that allowed Klal Yisrael to ride away with all the sparks of Kedusha. It says that each Jew had 10 chamerim, 10 donkeys, laden with the wealth of Egypt. That was the ultimate message was, Havan Ischak Malai, they thought that they were going to outsmart us by being our masters. But being a master is much deeper than who holds the whip. The depth of being a master is about which person has the ability to look at the chumrius of the belt and recognize that it's there to be used as an opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu.